Good morning. Are y'all ready to glorify God? All worshiped up and in the presence of the Lord? Amen. God is good, right? God is really good. He is so good. I'm telling you, I just love him. So how many of you got a glory report? How many of you has God done something great in your life recently? Wonderful, wonderful. We have lots of glory reports. That is awesome. You know, that should be our testimony. We should be living a life that is full of glory reports. You know why? Because we're blessed. We're highly favored by God. We're his own children. And all that he is, he's placed in us. That our Heavenly Father dwells in us. Jesus dwells in me. The Holy Spirit, this is his temple. He has lots of room in this one, amen? Lots of room in this temple. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I want to remind you of something. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll just go ahead and kick off with 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Is that all right with y'all? And we're going to do verse 20 through 22. Now, I want to just remind you that we've been talking about Mark 11, 23 and 24, that whatsoever thing you say, that when you believe what you say, you have received what you say, then you'll have it. But if you doubt that your words are going to actually accomplish what you say, then you'll go without, right? Doubt and go without. And so the whole thing of this is for us to really be able to believe that when I say something, my words come to pass. And I really want to focus on that in these weeks behind and ahead, because this is the thing that I see in the body of Christ. You can take that scripture off until we're ready to go there. So we not only are God's children, but we have to learn to really be God's children. We have to learn how to actually be doing. Oops, I got a little thing on my nose. I feel it. Excuse me. I got a little owie, and from time to time, it likes to remind me that it's still there. Praise God. Forgive me for the distraction. So, let me do my thing. Stop bleeding now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, as sons and daughters of God, we have to practice saying and getting what we say. We have to practice. I mean, when we talk to our children, don't we expect them to obey us when we tell them to do something? Or our pets, our dogs at least anyway, our cats, that's another story. But at least our dogs, right? So we have to practice what we say happens. We have to practice walking in our authority. We have to practice being sons and daughters of righteousness. Because, as we talked about last week, there is the spirit of this world. There is the spirit of the age. There is the spirit of error. And these guys really try their very, very best to trip us up, to get us to be distracted, to lullaby us, to get us off course, to point fingers and blame us. Doesn't it say that the devil is the accuser of the brethren? That's a blamer. He's a blamer. He blames us. And so they're all out there trying to get us to not walk in who we really are. And then on top of that, we have unbelief in our hearts that has convoluted our hearts, because sometimes we say what we mean and sometimes we say what we have. Sometimes we say what we want and sometimes we say what we've got. And our heart is going, all right, which is it? Which is it? Are you the victim or are you the creator? Are you the son or daughter of this world or are you the son and daughter of everlasting life? Who are you? And if we have double-mindedness, like it says in James 1, inside of us, how can we really expect to get the results that God has provided for us, right? It's a little difficult sometimes because we aren't really believing yet. Now, what I want to qualify this, that doesn't mean you think the Bible's not true. That's not what I'm saying. People will go to their grave saying that the Bible is true, that Jesus is Lord, and that by his stripes I was healed, and die and go to heaven. Okay? People will defend it to the very end. But that doesn't mean you actually believe that's who you are. You believe who he is, but you may not believe what he's given you for who you are yet. And we're all working it out. Some of us are at the place where we think Jesus has died for our sins, and so my sins are forgiven. So when I stand before God, I can have confidence when I die and I go to heaven and I stand before the Lord, I can have confidence when I stand before the Lord. And that is exactly what we get. But when it comes to having power over sickness, power over troubles, blessed finances, and these other things, well, you never know what God's going to do. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But we have to get to the place, as this congregation is, on who we actually are and what we've actually been given. And there are some principles in the Bible that I want to talk about today that we can use as our artillery. Now, these are laws. They're not, what's a different way for saying scrutinizable? Is that a word, scrutinizable? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say scrutinizable? Do you at least hear my communication, even if that's not a word? They're beyond contest. They're non-contestable. Thank you very much. You know, as Jesus says, it can't be broken, like the law. It can't be broken. So it's like you can't take it out. You can't void these. You can't change them. They're never going to go away. Like Pastor Trey was teaching on the kingdom of heaven last Sunday, and if you weren't here, you should hear that online. It's an excellent teaching. But he made a very, very, very clear point, which is we will always have night and day, hot and cold, and seed time and harvest. I think winter and summer was in that also. We will always have those. There, it's not a question of whether they will ever be. We will always have seed time and harvest. We'll always have hot. We'll always have cold. We'll always have the seasons. It's a given. It's non-changeable. Okay? It's like embedded. It's like hardwired in. These principles I'm going to show you are hardwired in also, and you can't change them. But the thing that's really cool about it is if they've been working against us, now that we know that they're the same always and they can't be changed, we can use them to our benefit. It's like a wonderful verse, I believe it's in Matthew. I think it's in Matthew, but it says that by my words I will be justified and by my words I will be condemned. You know what? I used to go, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Jesus, please help me. And he said, read it again. And I would read it. By my words, I shall be justified. By my words, I shall be condemned. Oh, Lord, I'm in so much trouble when I get to you. I have spoken so many negative, bad, self-loathing, insecure, shameful things that are piling up before you, Lord. Oh, forgive me. He says, read it again. By my words, I shall be justified. By my words, I'll be justified. Instead of thinking I'm in trouble by what I've said, I have the power to say what makes me awesome in the sight of God. What makes me great in his sight, which makes me one of his favorite people to be with. I have the power to do that by my mouth. I do. So let's go ahead and look at that verse in 1 Corinthians, if you will. I'm going to start in verse 20, and I want you to read this. This is talking about you and I. How many of you here have been born again? You've asked Jesus to come into your heart. You believe that God is your heavenly Father. And how many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God is in you. You're his temple. Good. So then let's read this. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. That means his promises in us are yes, and so be it. Absolutely. You can trust on it. This is a fact, Jack. You get it. Yes. And this brings glory to God because that's true. And in verse 21, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has what? Will, right? It's will. It's could, right? Nope, it says has, past tense. It's a done deal. Has anointed us is God. Verse 22. Who also has sealed us and given to us, has given us the Spirit in our hearts as what? A guarantee. Okay, there is no future tense here except the fact that the Spirit is our guarantee for what more we're going to receive from God later. So he said that the answers to my prayers are yes in him. Whatever I ask, he says yes. Okay, we got to get that in our hearts. That whatever we ask, he says yes, according to his promises. So whatever God has promised us in the Bible or personally in our personal prayer time, which usually lines up with the Bible, then we can count guaranteed that's mine. Are you with me? Okay, so we're going to talk about a principle. So, who's anointed? Raise your hands. Even if you don't see it manifesting the way you want it to manifest, it's still true. Okay? Some of us have not been the best children to our parents. We're still their children. They may not brag on us from time to time when we were younger and going through our stages in life, but they didn't disown us, praise God. They might have walked ahead of us and not wanted to be seen with us from time to time, or we the same with them, but we grew through it and we grew on, didn't we? It's the same way with God. Some of us may not be laying hold of all of the truth because the indicators, the pointers, the thing that we measure with might be askew. Do you know what I'm saying? The way that we identify what the truth is and who we actually are, we might be using the wrong things to indicate what's true to us. All right? So go with me now to Luke. Luke has some great principles. I'm going to do Luke 6, Emmy, and I'm going to go 37 and 38, but I'm going to go a little bit ahead of that. So go around 20-something and on down. Okay, I'm not quite sure where I want to go with that, but I want to go to Luke 6. Okay, so in Luke 6, this is the discord of the Beatitudes that Jesus is going through, and he's talking to everybody about. You guys all know about the Beatitudes, right? Okay, so then he starts talking about loving our enemies. Now, before I go into this, I want to qualify something. Who's your daddy? Say that again. Is that right? Or is it the devil? It's God the Father. Okay, do you have natural parents on your earth, on the earth? Okay, but we're not talking about them as being a natural man and woman. Okay, we're going to talk about God being your daddy. Okay, so let me just make, this is something we use as a model in the being made whole stuff of inner healing. The Bible says that the first man, Adam, was a living soul. Is that right? You guys can agree with that? And genealogies are measured from Adam down, right? Those are genealogies. But when Jesus came on the scene and he died on the cross, the genealogy or the lineage of Adam stopped at Jesus. And then a new lineage took place, okay? The last generation. Everyone who's born is of the generation of Jesus Christ because he is a life-giving spirit. Are you with me? Okay, so now we no longer look at all humanity from an earthly or fleshly point of view, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, but we look at them from the spirit. So Jesus, at the cross, when he died and rose again, all of us rose with him. Our earthly man was killed on the cross with Jesus Christ. Can you accept that without me going through a bunch of scriptures? So this new lineage, this new genealogy that we have is unto our heavenly Father. So now he's dealing with us from a spiritual and a heavenly point of view. Are you with me? So now we are growing up to be like our Father in heaven. Are you with me? Jesus said in John to Philip, Philip said, show us the Father. And he says, have I been with you so long that you don't see the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Philip. So we are the same. Okay, right there, that's enough to lose most people right there. Because most people are still baptized in the spirit of this world, claiming to be sons and daughters of God, but steeped in a mindset of the spirit of this world. So we have to resist that. And we have to renew our minds and really get focused. I'm going to give you some laws and some principles that work no matter whether you believe them or not. Gravity works whether you believe in gravity or not, okay? New science is saying there is no gravity. They're calling it something else now. But regardless, if you step off the building, you hit the mass called the earth, and all kinds of bad things happen, all right? You get high enough up, you're going to leave the body and go be with the Lord. So here's what I want to say about this before I get to the principle. I want you to look at verse 32. And this is us loving our enemies. This is God. And he's using an example of us being his children, how to be like him. And he says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Okay? This is the New King James translation. This word credit, I want you to know that this word is charis. It's the word for grace. Okay? How many of you have been saved by grace? Raise your hands. Okay, we've been saved by grace. Now, there's a principle that I want to let you see that is in motion here. We'll come to it, but I want you to get this grounding first. So you can say, but if you love those who love you, what grace is that to you? Or what grace are you showing others? How is that any credit to you? Are you showing others the grace I showed you? Are you with me? God lets it rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God loves all the earth, doesn't he? He died for the sins of the whole world, didn't he? Okay, so if we love those who love us, we're not showing grace. We're not. But if we love those who do not love us, now we're showing them favor that they didn't deserve, right? So it's what credit, they use the word credit for that in this phrase. It says it three times. Let's go to the next one, 33. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit or grace is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And the third one. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. So what he's saying is, you guys are my sons and my daughters. Okay? There's a law in place. We're going to get to the law. But if I showed grace to all of you, and I loved you when you were yet still sinners, and I died for the sins of the whole world as God, now, should you not do the same thing I did for you to others? Are you with me? Okay, so we as sons and daughters of God have to have God's perspective on who we are. In fact, the word glory, doxa, is God's point of view. It's radiant splendor, but it's also living from God's point of view. How many of you have ever prayed, Lord, let me see them the way you see them? Because the way I see them, I want them to go to you right now. I said, open my eyes so I can see them with the same love you see them with, Lord, because it's not working right now. So God's telling us that we need to be able to have the same grace for others that he had towards us. And we have lots of parables about forgiving people. Remember the guy that owned $200 trillion and God forgave him? And then somebody else owed him $100 and he about choked out the guy trying to get his $100, you wicked servant. Do you remember that testimony? I embellished it a little bit. But we need to do the same that God does for us. Are you with me still? Good. Now we're going to get to the principle. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. So this is what sons do. They act like their father. And we've used lots of testimonies of Pastor Trey that his son Levi loves to walk and talk and be like his dad, doesn't he? Just loves it. And that is, imitation is the highest form of flattery. It really is. And so God wants us to imitate him and be like him. I'm helping you right now. For he is kind to unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your father also is merciful. Isn't this great news, you guys? Who's got room to grow? Raise your hand. Everybody, raise two if you need two. Hallelujah. Raise your hands. We all got room to grow. Great, but I want you to understand something. There's a principle that's about to be explained to us that is incredibly powerful. And once we realize that this principle is always working, it makes this loving your enemy thing much, much more easier to walk in grace towards them, because you will be able to see them in a different light. Okay, Lord. I get to use my cell phone example. I'm going to look forward to that. Thank you, Lord. Here it is, verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Isn't that exciting? Look at this next verse. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. How exciting is that? This is a principle of God that you cannot change. It's also in Matthew chapter 7 and in other places written different ways. But I want you to understand that. This is a law. Some people call it the law of reciprocation or the law of sowing and reaping. I call it the law of equality. And this is how I think of it. And I'm not putting it, you guys all do it the way you think. Do you know what reciprocation is? A reciprocating saw is a saw that the blade goes down and up, down and up, down and up, like this. A jigsaw, they used to call it, or a sawzall. It's where the blade goes in and out, in and out. Like a sewing machine, the blade goes up and down, it reciprocates. That means it goes in and out. It goes back and forth. It goes one side to the other side. Okay? In algebra, any of you guys that know math at all, in algebra 1, in the very beginning, they teach you that in algebra, on the equal sign, whatever you do to one side of the equation, you have to do to the other side of the equation to reduce it down to come to your answer, okay? So you may have this big old long scary looking equation, but you can start eliminating portions of it by doing it to both sides and getting away the common things until you reduce it down to the answer. Are you with me? The law is whatever you do to one side, you have to do to the other side. Can't change that. So I'm trying to get this principle in you. To the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You cannot change that. If you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. If you condemn others, you will be condemned. God's not doing it to you. It's a law. Therefore, he can't forgive you if you won't forgive others. Are you with me? You're his sons and daughters. He saved you by grace. You have to show grace to others. Okay? What it means is that you don't believe you're actually God's son. Not really. You'll say it's true. Oh, you'll go to your grave saying this is true. But that doesn't mean you believe that's you yet. And we need to believe God and renew our minds and keep moving forward on these things. So the principle is, whatever you do to others, on the opposite side of that equation is, you get the same done to you. Are you with me? You can't change it. So if you're generous, and you're a generous person, and you're a giver, then lots will be given to you. But if you're an ugly person, then lots of ugliness is going to come back to you. Are you with me? If you're a negative person, then a lot of negativity will be given to you. And this is what's so exciting. Here's another law. Don't you love these laws? I love your laws, Lord. Praise the Lord. There's something called a reticular activator inside of all of us. Reticular activator. An RAS, reticular activating system. Are you with me? Who does not know what that is? Raise your hand. Okay, well, I do. Perfect. Great, thank you. Gives me an opportunity to explain it. How many of you have ever gone looking for a car before? Shopping for a car? Okay? And you're going out there and you're going to try to look for some cars. So you maybe go to the dealerships or you look around in the, as you go shopping at some of the cars in the parking lots. And you're kind of trying to get an idea for the car that you want. And you want something kind of nice and something good and economical or whatever you use as your thing. So let's just say you decided you were going to get a mint green Camaro. Vroom! How exciting is that? Not many of those around, so I want to get a mint green Camaro. Power and style. So you're driving, or you're looking around, you finally get your mint green Camaro, and you're about the only one that has one. But as you start looking around, all of a sudden, you find out that there's two mint green Camaros in the parking lot at the store you went to, and you walked to the wrong one. How could that possibly be? No one else had a mint green Camaro. And then you go and you drop your kids off at school and you find out one of the other parents is driving a mint green Camaro. And it's like, holy smokes, what's going on? And now you're seeing Camaros everywhere and you're seeing mint green cars everywhere you go. Why? Because you got one all of a sudden. Whatever you pay attention to, not only do you get more of, but you become aware of it. So wherever your focus is, you're going to be very aware of that. So if your mind is not on the blessings of God, you won't see the blessings of God around you. If your mind is on pain and sorrow and destruction, then you will notice around you pain and sorrow and destruction. It was always there. But it's because you're focused on it is why you're noticing it around. Because this reticular activating system is wonderful for filtering out billions of pieces of information that are not important to you at the moment. And so it operates on its own all the time. It's a gift God gave to us. And so what happens is the more I pay attention to the grace of God, the goodness of God, the favor of God, the anointing of God, the power flowing through me, the more I focus on that and put my attention on that, the more I'm going to see it in the world around me. Are you with me? When I decided I want to start praying for people, you know what? It was the weirdest thing. I couldn't find hardly anybody that was sick in the beginning. But then the more that I prayed for people, I realized just about everybody's sick around me. And it's easy to find somebody to pray for. But if my attention's not there, I'll go to the store and not even look to see if there's anybody that needs prayer. I'll go to the bank and I won't even talk to anybody in my line and let them know about Jesus or ask them how they're doing or building a relationship with them, because my mind is not on sharing with others. Are you with me? All right, let's go to another scripture. We can also look in, we're not going to go there, Luke 6:31, it says, do unto others as you would have others do unto you, right? That's the law and the prophets. So I want to go here real quick. Let's go to Matthew 16:19. This is also in Matthew 19. Let me go all the way back to 17, if that's all right. I will go back to 16:17, and we're talking about Peter here. And Peter and Jesus are having a talk. And you know, the disciples, they went around, and Jesus wanted to know what was going on with everybody. And here's a revelation that Peter answered. So this is what Peter answered, and Jesus answered. Peter said, starting in verse 17, I'm going to just read, okay? My tongue's tied. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Verse 18, and I also say to you, who are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Here's a principle he's going to give him now. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Isn't that exciting? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Sounds like they're kind of tied together, doesn't it? Sounds like they're kind of tied together. Look what Woos says. Woost. Yeah. You say tomatoes, I say tomatoes. You say logos, I say logos. What do you say? Logos. He says logos. He says it wrong. Even though he's correct, it's wrong in my ears. It's wrong in the South. That's right. He says it's wrong, and he's right. I mean, he's saying it correctly, but it's the wrong in my ears. Does that make sense? Okay. So here's what Woos says for that verse. I shall give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. That's interesting. That's how it translates out in the original Greek. And I believe the Amplified goes along that line also. So here's my question to you. Let me just look at the Amplified. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper or unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawfully on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. Those are three different ways of saying it. That heaven and earth are tied together, and whatever is done in one can be done in the other. Is this too much for you guys? Okay, we're sons and daughters of the Most High. We're anointed by God. Say hallelujah if you're anointed by God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know, the devil says, how'd I lose ya? We say hallelujah. Amen. So we as sons and daughters of God have these principles that if we really want something, we can sow it. We can do it to others and it'll be done back to us. Are you with me? If we want more blessings in our life, then we bless other people more, right? So this little equation that I showed you, these little equal signs work no matter what. Whatever you do to one side, you do to the other. Whatever you want, you get. So when we do something on the earth, it's already done in heaven. So it happens there first, and then it shows up here. You've heard this before. It's in the spirit first, right? If you can see your blessing in the spirit, you can have it in the natural. You've heard that before, right? If you can see the Lord show you something, Jesus says, I didn't do anything except what I saw my Father do or I heard my Father say. Right? So he got it in the spirit first, and then it manifested in the earth, right? Right. So when we see these principles that it happens in heaven first and then on earth, that whatever we sow, we reap, whatever measure we use, it's going to be measured back to us. I want to show you one more. When you pray, 1 John 5:14-15. This is my clincher. 1 John 5:14-15. Are you with me? 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Talking about God when we pray. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that what? Is that future tense? Is it? Present tense. That whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask him for. This is the principle. This is where a carnal mind cannot comprehend the things of God. Okay? Where I might be able to be a normal person that says, okay, I need to treat other people good, and if I treat other people good, then they'll eventually come around. I can see how a natural mind can extrapolate that. I can see how a natural mind can do, there's this Zen philosophy, it's what goes around comes around, you know what I mean? You know, that whole thing that you treat others the way you want to be treated thing. The world can kind of accept that too. But this, that whatever you ask, you already have, that's a little hard to accept. But if you remember my equal signs, when you ask God for something, if you ask for it, it has to be provided to you. You can't have a question without an answer. You can't. The answer is always with the question. The solution is always with the ask. That's why you ask, is for the solution. When your child asks for an egg, you don't give them a scorpion, right? You ask to receive, right or wrong? So when we ask to receive. So when we ask God for something, we received it. But where is it? In the spirit, somebody said. Okay, so how do we bring it into the natural? Faith. Say again. Faith. Say again. Faith. Also, removing unbelief. You need both. You have to not only have faith, because remember when I started, I was talking about our hearts. We've got this, I say what I have, but I'm asking for what I want. I say what I have, but I'm asking for what I want. And my heart doesn't know which to believe, the faith or the unbelief. God, I ask you to heal me. God, I'm still sick. Your heart's going, well, which one's true? By his stripes I was healed. Amen. My head still hurts though. Which one's true? Do we believe God? Or do we believe what's resisting God? This is exciting stuff. This is exciting stuff. Do I believe God and what he says about me as his son and his daughter, and I am willing to stand against whatever the obstacle is until it moves out of the way? Ask and you shall what? How many have asked and not received? I'll show you. Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. I don't want to see. I'll show you people who gave up. They didn't believe that what was rightfully theirs, they could actually have what was rightfully theirs. They rolled it off onto God as to whether he would or not. It's tight, but it's right. It's hard, but it's true. So here's the thing. As we talked about last year, just seems like that, last week, the spirit of this age and the spirit of this world tries to cloud our minds and our bodies. And it tries to deceive us to put our attention that the natural is what's mostly real. The natural is what's real. And what's in the spirit is this elusive, invisible, maybe kind of dream thing. But it's not what's real. But that person of the flesh died. He died with Christ on the cross. And you and I in this room who says we're born again, sons and daughters of the Most High, whose God is our fathers, we have to really practice getting results. Really practice getting results. And pressing in and not giving up soon. And if it takes a day, or if it takes a week, or if it takes a month or longer, how focused are we and determined to get what we're asking for? It's not whether it's been divvied out to us. It's whether or not we can stand and remove the obstacles that are withholding it from us. Let me say it a different way. When somebody's sick, and then they pass away, I hear the family saying, why didn't God heal them? That bothers me. I think I said this last week. I listen to people when tragedy strikes, they say, why did God take my loved ones? Why did God let this happen? And they're being honest. That's how they think. That's how they really think. And you know, if you ever saw the movie Unusual Suspects, I do not recommend seeing it, but if your carnal person drove you to see it at one point in your life, like mine did, boy, you know, just a side note, how many ever watched a movie, thought it was really great, and then years later, after the Holy Spirit's had a little more work in your heart, you go back and watch the movie and go, oh, I can't believe I liked this movie. Oh, all this swearing and stuff. I didn't even realize it was there 5 years ago. Anyway, this is one of the things that he said in it. He says, one of the greatest things the devil ever accomplished was to make you believe he didn't exist. We quite clearly believe that God exists, but we do not really take seriously what is arrayed against us from having what God has given to us. And because we don't take it that seriously, when we go in troubles and serious troubles, that all of a sudden we get very serious in our prayers and very focused all of a sudden because we're about to lose everything that's valuable to us in one way or another, we don't realize that slowly but surely we've been getting cut off at the knees by everything we've said in our hearts, believed in our minds, followed along suit with, and let the spirit of this world just kind of take over a major portion of our lives. So now when we get into the troubles, we're asking God to bail us out instead of realizing that we had an enemy this whole time that we weren't even fighting against. Are you with me? I know this isn't great to hear. I know this isn't the one that feels good, but it's really true. You are powerful. You are anointed. You are a gift from God. You have the Spirit of God Himself dwelling in you. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have been promised that every one of God's promises are yes to you. Period. Ephesians says that you have been given all, what is it, blessed in heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places have been given to you. And I tried to show you that it happens first in the spirit and then in the natural. It's yours to lay hold of and to apprehend. But we have to really focus in on who I am in the spirit. Who God has made me to be, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all live inside of this being, me. And we are one spirit together. I have the mind of Christ Jesus. I have been made in God's image, in His likeness. I have been made brand new according to God. Therefore, I am righteous and truly holy because God has made me that way. I stand before Him blameless and above reproach. He will never be angry with me ever again. Everything that He says about me is blessed and edifies and builds me up and brings me up. There's nothing that He has that He will withhold from me. Nothing. Those are all true. But if I don't really lay hold of that, I'll walk out and the spirit of this world will get my mind on lunch, on I need to fill up my gas tank, I need to stop at the store, and there's laundry that still needs to be folded, and who does ironing anymore? It's all out there. You know that? It's just always there. But if I don't set time aside and say, no, this is who I am. This is who God has made me. These are the promises that I have. This is the victory that I will overcome this world because He who is in me is greater than he who is in this world. And I will be the proof that this is true by the life that I live on the earth. I will glorify my Father because it's His good pleasure to give me His kingdom. He wants me to be His son and bring heaven manifested on the earth. This glorifies my heavenly Father. When I heal people, this glorifies God. When I prosper, this glorifies God. When I receive the promises of God, this glorifies God. And I have to renew my mind to this. I have to walk in this because I'll tell you, the second you just pause, someone's going to come and try to trip you up and make it not true for you. We have to be able to not only believe God, but are you willing to remove the resistance that's saying what God says is not true? So I'm going to point it out an entirely different way that you need to take a look at. Ready? This is for all of us, not just for the ones in this room. This is for all of us. When God said, lay hands on the sick and they recover, He didn't say some magical prayer. He said, touch them. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm saying touch them. He said, if you touch them, they'll get healed. Or if you speak a word, they'll get healed. It'll happen what you say. If you believe, your words come to pass. The centurion came to Jesus and asked for his servant's daughter to be healed. And instantly she was because of his great faith. Because he understood Jesus had authority in the spirit. Okay? The only two people Jesus was ever amazed with were Gentiles. Because they knew who he was and what he was capable of. They believed it. And they got great results because of it. You have the same spirit dwelling in you that Jesus has when he walked on the earth. That's who you are. But this world does not want you to believe that. The spirit of this age absolutely does not want you to believe that. The demonic forces do not want you to see that reality at all. And they will blind your minds till you cannot even go there anymore. And we need to actively resist the devil and he'll flee. And we draw near to God and God will draw near to us and we will start seeing more results in our bodies. Are you with me? In our finances, in manifesting the kingdom in this earth. But it takes us resisting the devil. It takes us being vigilant, being sober-minded, being active to bring forth the kingdom of God. Get ready. I'm getting ready to preach here. I'm going to light on fire in a second. If I spontaneously combust, do not throw water on me. It's a good thing, okay? Amen. Do not throw water on me. I want to burn, I'll tell you. Listen, you are so anointed by God. You are so gifted by the Holy Spirit. You are so valuable to God. The devil does not want you to believe that. He wants to do whatever he can to blind us and to not believe God, but believe what opposes God as real. But we stand in the gap. We do not be moved. We put our armor on and we get ready to do everything we can to stand and to fight. And then we do it. And our weapons are faith and the word of God. That's what we get. Faith and the word of God. And that we are righteous. That we are saved. That we really want everyone to experience the relationship with God. That we live in truth and we do not lie. We live the truth. And as we get all this together and we stand in this, who we really are, we can stand against the spirit of this age, against this demonic stuff that is trying to be forced on the believers of God. It's trying to be laid right on top of you that you have to do these things. And if we don't stand up and rouse ourselves from sleep now, it's going to be harder and harder and harder later. Are you with me? So, we need to believe these principles that to the measure that I use, it'll be measured back to me. That's important. That if I ask, I've received. I don't have to hem and haw, but is my ask a serious ask? Am I really asking because I know I will get what I ask for? Or am I just kind of like, rescue me, rescue me, rescue me, rescue me, rescue me, rescue me? Or am I, Lord, I've got some work to do in the kingdom of God. I need this so that we can bring forth the kingdom of God here. I need this so we can take out the enemy in these areas and we can move the kingdom forward in this area. Lord, I need this gift to operate in me so that we can help these people right here in this area. Do you see what I'm saying? Or is it we are the manifest presence of God in the earth through us. We bring the kingdom. We bring the healing. So if you need healing in your body, what's a great way to reap what you sow? Two of you get it. The same two get it. That's it, I'll tell you. We pray for people who need to be healed. Okay? If you're not seeing your healing in your body, then get your hands on other people. The hose can't help but get wet on the inside when the water pours through it. Are you with me? We need to really bless others. We need to really speak well. We need to actually be God on the earth to others. Love them. Manifest it to him. That's what we do. And if we don't know how or we have a block and unbelief is getting us, go to a brother or a sister and have them agree with you and get that off of you. Help you work through that block of unbelief. Because get the spirit of prophecy who will exhort you build you up, comfort you, to really speak life into you so that you can manifest these things. Because I want to let you know, the devil is very real and so are his dominions, but we have authority over him. If we wake up and shake it off, there's nothing he can do to stop us. Nothing. But we have to be willing to go the extra mile. Are you with me? Amen. If you guys are all willing to go the extra mile with me, raise your hand. And we'll all get a tattoo that says the extra mile. All right? Well, no, not the, all right, no tattoos. But everything else is good. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. So, to sum this all up, open my eyes, Lord, that I can see who I really am in your sight. Open my heart, Lord, so that I can really believe what you've given to me is mine. And open my mouth, Lord, that I can speak faith and get results because you dwell in me. Help me to manifest your kingdom as I walk on the earth. Put your want to inside of me, so I'll want to do your will on the earth so that I can glorify my Father in heaven. I trust you, Lord. I believe in you, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. I'll see you guys later.